Need to talk with someone about something you can't talk about with anyone else? You can talk to us. I'm Dr. Susan Block, your mistress of the airwaves, but my day job is director of the Dr. Susan Block Institute for the Erotic Arts and Sciences, specializing in sex therapy over the phone. Anytime you need to talk, whether you need serious psychotherapy or a hot phone sex experience, or a combination, my world-renowned telephone sex therapists are just a phone call away. Totally private, absolutely confidential. We listen, talk with you, advise you, role-play for you, fantasize with you, no fantasy is too taboo, and help you with anything from impotence to exhibitionism, fears to desires, fetishes to marriages. For more information, call us at 213-291-9497. That's 213-291-9497 anytime you need to talk.
You're listening to Radio Susie One on the World Wide Web. And now, here she is, Dr. Susan Block.
Brothers and sisters, lovers and sinners, authors and exhibitionists, voyeurs and connoisseurs, farmers and foragers, professors and porn stars, sex pots and sex perts. All you children of sex. And we are all children of sex. With a capital X. 'Tis true. We may or may not be children of God, Jesus, Allah, Brahma Ramadama, or the goddess Gaia. We don't know. But until we start cloning ourselves, we are all children of sex. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Can I hear an A women?
A women!
I want to welcome you to Dr. Susie's Speakeasy in the soul of downtown LA. We're in the womb room, baby. Broadcasting live on Radio Susie One, on the World Wide Web, Worldwide Revolution, Worldwide Sexual Revelation. We are occupying the internet, like everybody. But this is our little corner, our little womb room. Children that we are of sex. And tonight, we children of sex are going to talk a little bit about our sexual parents. No, it's not an incest show. Well, I don't think it is. You never know with this show. We're going to actually be talking and experiencing something related to our sexual great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandparents. That's really great. Our very promiscuous common ancestor. Well, no, not common. What is it? I got a microphone issue. See, our ancestors didn't have these issues. They didn't have the internet. They didn't have microphones. They didn't even have farms. But they had sex. And they actually had very similar bodies. Maybe it's my back here. They had very similar bodies and brains to what we have now, which is what drives us so crazy. Anyway, we're going to talk about that. We're going to experience that. We've got a lot of really great guests in the womb room tonight. But it just so happens there's a book about this subject. In fact, I have like several of these books in the bed. Must have been an orgy of reading here. Sex at Dawn. The Prehistoric Origins of Modern Sexuality. I happen to have the authors of this book right in the womb room right now. Both of them, Christopher Ryan and Casilda Jetha, are both here. And they happen to be a couple. Isn't that romantic? And they wrote this amazing book that you just have to go out and read. And in the meantime, we'll talk about it a little bit. And I don't know, somehow I think it's going to inspire some adventures tonight. So I have Christopher Ryan here, Dr. Christopher Ryan, for the third time. Well, the first time was on the phone, and then the second time was in the other room, and now here you are in the womb room. Welcome. Oh, and we are not going to turn your microphone on. That's the thing, though. Yeah. You can be here.
It's wonderful to be here in the womb room.
Thank you. You are in the womb room. And Casilda's here, right behind you. She's not talking yet. We haven't gotten any agua into her. But she's here. Hi. So good to have you. I'm so excited. This is your virgin experience in the womb room. Yes. That's exciting. So welcome to this womb room. Now you have like this bevy of beauties on with
it's
you.
It's amazing.
Yeah,
I know.
It's a good thing you brought Casilda this time.
I'm feeling very nervous.
Yeah. Well, I mean we've talked about Sex at Dawn. This will be the third time, really. Yeah. Although I talk about it all the time on this show. It's one of my favorite books.
Thank you.
Along with Bonobo Handshake by Vanessa Wood, and she, in fact, introduced me to you guys.
Mm-hmm.
And this book, by the way, if those of you who are Dan Savage fans, if you care, he says that this is the most important book to come along since the Kinsey Report. I mean, book on sex. Right. So it's important. So we're doing important things here on this show, aside from just jerking off, right? But actually, this book tells you a lot about jerking off, really, and jilling off. And so, speaking of jilling, I think we'll focus a little bit on female sexuality tonight. What do you say?
I think that's a great idea.
Because I think that your book debunks a lot of conventional wisdom about female sexuality, and I just have this feeling that so do all of these women.
Good. Let's hear what they have to say.
Yeah, you want to? Okay, sure. We'll move on.
I'm here to watch and listen.
Yeah. Well, I'm so excited to have you. So here is a woman that looks like she's ready to debunk some conventional wisdom. This is Dani Jensen. Hello.
Hello.
Oh, listen to that cartoon voice. Wow. Wow, you sound like Betty Boop.
I'm probably just as small. I'm fun size, like Betty Boop, too.
You're fun size.
Mm-hmm.
How tall are you?
5'1".
Wow, that's a little pretty package. And you're a porn star, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
Mm-hmm. Woo, we got some cheers there. All right. And where are you from originally?
About a little town about an hour east of L.A. called Glendora.
We know all about Glendora.
Oh, do you?
Yes, there's a lot of porn stars from Glendora.
Really?
Why is that?
I had no idea. I haven't met anybody else, another fellow porn star from my home city that I know of yet.
Why do you think you became a porn star?
I graduated porn star. First, I was a waitress at a strip club, and then I became
waitress
a dancer.
Waitress is a gateway drug, right?
It is, absolutely. Yeah. Anybody will tell you. And then I became a dancer, and then recruited to the big leagues.
So, having fun all the way, or making buck, or...
Yes, I honestly love having sex, and getting paid for it is just the perk to me.
Mm. Okay, so you're a natural born slut?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm a natural born slut.
Yeah,
I'm proud of it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, welcome to the speakeasy and the womb
Thank
room.
Thank you. Mm. Pop my cherry.
Yeah, you're
in the
a virgin
womb room.
Here. Your womb is a virgin to the womb room.
It's true.
Have you heard anything about this place?
I haven't, but okay. I'm very intrigued.
Okay. Well, I'm going to introduce your companion here.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's the tall version.
Yes.
You're the little one, and
exactly.
This is 5'11", Jaden Cole.
Ow!
Hello.
Welcome, Jaden.
Thank you.
And we put you on the high chair because you're the tallest. So
I was going to say I've got a stripper pole in front of me.
Yeah, and you've got a stripper pole in front of you that you can just get right up there. You might hit your head on the ceiling. It's not that high. But
hot chicks.
You are welcome to ascend the pole anytime you
awesome.
Feel the spirit of the pole.
Lifting me up
yeah.
onto the stage.
It might just do that.
Oh, my gosh. One more drink and I'll be flying.
Right. Well, I'm going to introduce you to our... I've got to introduce all my guests before I get you all liquored up. Okay, so now you are also a porn star.
Yeah, specializing in the ladies' love.
The
lesbian
ladies,
love.
Lesbian love.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Mm. And is that a personal preference, or did you just kind of fall into that professionally?
When it comes to being promiscuous, my preference is definitely the ladies.
Promiscuous. You mm-hmm. identify with that word, huh?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Now, interestingly, this book, Sex at Dawn, do you like to read?
I love it. I can't wait to talk about this book. Yeah. I don't know that much about it, but I'm really glad you guys are here because I want to hear all about it.
Yeah.
I've heard
well,
a lot about it.
It sort of rehabilitates this word promiscuous that has
I like
really
that.
Gotten a bad rap.
Right.
Because now you're going to have to correct me if I'm wrong. I think it's from a Latin word, miscere,
yeah.
to mix. It just
mm-hmm.
means mix.
Right.
It doesn't have a value judgment
mm-hmm.
on the mix.
A blending of, you know, connections.
Of ooity,
like yeah.
I guess. It's pro. It's like, you know, positive.
Positive.
It's pro mixing your ooities.
Yeah, I like that.
It's
yeah.
It's about your dirty ancestors. That's what it's about.
It's sexuality coming naturally to all of us.
Well, yeah,
for years
sexuality comes pretty naturally, doesn't it? And it seems like the promiscuity comes pretty naturally.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, monogamy is a... I don't know. Have you tried monogamy?
Eh.
Not even tried. Okay. All right. Well, this book is for you. It tells you all about the background, not just, you know, your parents, but your great, 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 great grandparents who did this, you know, pretty naturally, you know, kind of had sex and did everything else in these small groups.
Free love.
Tells you how you got to Glendora and then became a waitress and then a porn star.
I don't know if it was free. I think you might have had to give up a banana or something. You
right.
know, like trade.
Currency of the
yeah.
times.
Sex for meat.
Although not necessarily if you're charming enough. You know,
right.
we had the same brains and so we could sing a song and seduce each other, I guess. Do you
or write
sing?
A book.
Oh, write a book. I don't know if you could do
tell
that,
a story.
Though.
You could
tell a story.
Story,
right.
Yeah.
You'd have to have a good
I,
memory.
I like to imagine the storyteller's got laid a lot.
Yeah. Oh, certainly.
I don't know if there's any evidence for that. But
yeah, yeah, because they would also sing. They were the musicians.
Sure, and
they
the shaman.
The, yeah,
and the
yeah.
The shamans, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, they got laid a lot. Right. Mm-hmm. The artists always get laid. Right.
That's true. That's very true.
All right, and the porn stars get laid.
Yeah,
I mean,
mix of sensuality and openness,
right?
Being in touch.
Right. Who were the porn stars of our ancestors?
Well, we do talk about that in the book. How some societies had women who would go in the hunting trips with the men to motivate them.
To motivate them, and they
yeah,
like get
sort of
naked
take care of them. So there'd be six
and
or seven guys go out on a week-long hunting trip, and one or two women would go along just to keep them company,
mm-hmm.
cook when they're out, you know, hunting, and then when
right.
they got home, they'd all.
I don't know. Porn stars don't necessarily cook, though.
No, well,
I do.
Right. Oh,
she
right.
does.
They're really cooking. Oh, you do.
Yeah, she cooks.
So
there you go.
You're a
I
cook.
Do.
What's
yeah.
your specialty?
Shredded chicken enchiladas.
Mmm. Not bad. You want to go to the kitchen hunt. Now and get some
spice in your enchilada?
Mm-hmm.
I guess some enchiladas are getting hard out there. All right, so now we have Cherie DeVille.
Hello.
Now, we're not going to turn on your microphone.
No, it's on. It's actually on.
Okay. Well, welcome.
Thank you.
Now, you've been tweeting up a storm.
Yeah.
You love
I'm
Twitter.
Obsessed.
Yes.
And you're also a girly girl porn star, is
yes,
that right?
Yes, all girl girl.
All girl girl.
Yes.
All girl girl all the time. I didn't make it this way. So nobody should have jumped Chris then? I mean, come on.
On my own.
Well, all right. Well, you do have your wife here.
Yeah.
She might get inspired by all these girly girls.
Exactly.
How did you get into porn and promiscuity?
Well, my husband and I have always been swingers, so we pick up girls all the time, so, I mean, I've been with women my whole life. I get, actually, like, 7 times more women than men. I think I've been with 4 men and, like, 50-something women.
Really?
Yeah. I almost never find a guy that I like. But
why is that?
I have no idea. Like, it's just chemistry. It's not looks. It's not anything. It's just chemical, I guess.
Yeah, you think? Does your husband have to approve of the guy?
We're just with girls, yeah. The other guy can watch. Yeah.
Oh, okay, mm-hmm. So since you're married, you don't do guys, but... So
I suppose
guys.
Maybe if once, like, someday I found another guy, I don't know, but
right.
So far I'm 33 and there's only been 4, so...
Well, there's time. Could be others.
Yeah.
There could be others. Okay, but he likes it when you're with girls, because both guys do.
Fun,
yeah, why wouldn't a guy? Double your pleasure, double your fun. Some guys are threatened. Not every guy likes it, you know. It's not, and guys have gotten on my case when I say that, you know, it's sort of standard. But it is standard, but, you know, there's nothing that everybody likes. We're so varied. We're so diverse. Mm-hmm. So, moving right along, we have... Sex nerd Sandra.
Hello.
Opening my mouth wide for the Andra.
All right, let the just wash over you. Sandra.
Sex nerd Sandra. Sandra, and let me see if I can pronounce this last name. Dougherty?
Doherty. Strong Irish name.
Doherty.
Yes.
Doherty, okay.
Yeah, Sandra Doherty.
Right, I'm glad we can call you sex nerd Sandra. That's easier.
Yeah, it rolls off the tongue. Yeah.
And you are... a sex writer and blogger and you do a podcast and you do talks about sex and you kind of experience it and teach people. You're not a porn star.
No, I'm not a porn star. I basically talk about sex as much as porn stars have sex. Like, I just talk about sex all the time, every day, thinking about it, analyzing it, drawing connections, realizing things. Yeah, so that's
my
life.
Do you get off on talking about sex?
Intellectually, I do. Like, yeah. I love the feeling of my brain just being really alive and being like, but if this is the case and that's the case, then what about this? And, like, just thinking about things. Like, when I realize that all that erogenous tissue, like, in the vaginal canal, like, and surrounding it makes us tighter, like, oh, it's just like, oh, my God, that's amazing.
Passionate.
And then I got really turned on in the mind, and then... I probably got turned on a little bit later.
Yeah, I mean, it would lead, one leads to another. The mind is inside of the body, right? So, you know, if you're getting braingasms, it might, you know, connect to your feet and your elbows and your pussy.
You know, related to this.
Yes.
Since the book came out, our book came out about a year and a half ago, we've probably received about 25 emails from women saying they had to stop and masturbate every 10 or 15 pages.
You know, I didn't send
not
the email
one from
because
a guy.
Right. No, it's true. It's true. Women get very turned on by cerebral connections.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. I can't wait to read the book.
Now, one of the things
you
say about
email
women,
if you masturbate.
What is it? It's like something like we're plastic or we're pliant in our sexuality. We're more able to, like, guys get more into fetishes.
Right.
And of course, I'm generalizing. Okay, we all have a feminine side, we all have a masculine side, but generally, there's more guys with fetishes and more gals that are kind of getting turned on by things we can't even identify. Right? Guys always know when they're turned on because, you know,
the flagpole goes up.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now, what about exhibitionism and our ancestors? Because to some degree, all these ladies are exhibitionists. I mean, sex nerd Sandra's not a porn star with her body, but she's kind of a brain exhibitionist. She shows off her sexual
connection.
That's
all I do, show off my brain all day. Pretty slutty that way.
Yeah. That's right. And they love, I mean, Are you girls exhibitionists? I guess you enjoy porn, and it's more than just, you know, it's a certain type of sex work, okay? There's certain types where you don't get in front of everybody, but porn, you're in front of everybody. Everybody. I mean, because it's all over the internet. You know, there used to be a time when you'd say, well, you know, if you're looking at it, then you must be into porn. But now you just pass it. It's just sent to you in the mail, and so all kinds of people can see you. Does that turn you on? I mean, I almost feel like that's a rhetorical question, but how does that turn you on?
Especially for me, especially at first, it's kind of like almost an adrenaline, like a voyeuristic fucking in the swingers club, knowing you're turning everyone else on is definitely a turn on for me.
You feel powerful knowing you're turning other people on?
I think
so,
and feel hot.
A giver, like you're a goddess of fertility. You know,
knowing other people are watching you thinking it's hot makes me feel hot.
Yeah, it's making me feel hot.
I'm just still overwhelmed with people listening to me. Like, you listen to me? Like, if I had sex in front of people, like, I think I'd pass out. Like, you're watching me. Like, I just couldn't even handle that. Like, you guys are so powerful for being able to do that and handle that. Like, that's really cool.
I think it's a little different for me. I love connecting with the person that I'm performing with. And it doesn't really matter as soon as that happens, as soon as that connection is established, everything else disappears.
Aww.
And you're kind
I
of along for the ride.
I completely agree.
Really?
Yes.
So you just get into the person
completely.
You don't...
Completely. Mm-hmm.
But you're also a penthouse pet. I mean, you're not with a... you're just modeling
right,
there.
Right. That kind of thing is always a little bit
more... So there's
more
the fans. There's the
tease,
fans.
You know?
And you both have Twitters. You've got your fans.
Right,
you know?
Right, right.
I mean, are you just milking them, or do you kind of get off on them?
Well, I feel like it's almost like it's not enough of a connection to get completely turned on, where it's like, you know, you're separate, they can't
right.
touch you, they can't feel you, they can't connect, it can only go so far, so you almost right. feel like it's a half-ass turn on as far as being an exhibitionist is almost
yeah
like,
but I'm glad you moved your hair aside just then,
like that.
Because yeah I do you were hiding your boobs.
We
They're
have matching cleavage.
Yeah,
cleavage.
Well, but you're so much bigger than me in every way.
I know.
Look at
my
you.
Boobies
you're,
are high.
Yeah, your boobies are what?
Saying hi.
Are the same
saying high.
They're high. They're very.
They're coming out to say hi.
They are. They can come out and say hi.
I was gonna say the stripper pole's a little bit in the way, but like.
Oh
know,
no,
we can work it out.
Yeah.
We can work it out. Here we go. Danny will help out.
That's beautiful.
Always good to get a helping hand from a friend.
Sharing is caring.
I'm in the wrong
exactly.
seat. What am I doing over
here? We stuck him over on the other
well,
side.
Well, you know, wait, would you like to be in the middle? Are you?
No. I think the middle seat is taken.
Well, so, what next? I know. Your book talks about... speaking of exhibitionism and sound, the sound of a woman's orgasm is an exhibitionist thing that even women that aren't porn stars often indulge in, which is just to make all these sounds that, you know, guys are usually kind of stoic about orgasm. I mean, every once in a while they go, ugh!
Totally.
You know? but usually they're just kind of going, ugh, you know, and women are going, oh! I mean, you know.
It's a big release, like when you come and you're able to make a couple moans. And the more I moan, the more released, the more satisfied I am.
Yeah.
And I always look at
a
guy
moaner.
Sometimes and I'm like, how are you so quiet? How are you so quiet? Like, you didn't make a sound, you didn't make a peep. I barely knew you even came.
What about no. you, Danny?
Last year I went to Tokyo to work for a week, and the male performers there have no expression whatsoever at all. And I was there with Lily LeBeau, and her and I were discussing, and the lady translator asked the male performers to give some kind of reaction to satisfy us a little more, because we'd be going to town, and there's nothing.
You couldn't even tell.
No.
Aww. So stoic.
Yeah.
What about in the swinger world?
In terms of noise, yeah, it's the same thing. Guys same don't thing. Make much noise at all.
What about
it's,
the nerd
it's all
world?
About the women.
Maybe nerds, well, guys are more in touch with them.
The way I think about it, I think of like males, they kind of, when they orgasm, they come inward and then everything shoots out their dicks.
Right.
Whereas with females, it's sort of, we're taking lifts things in vaginally up. And things come out, our like our sound comes out our mouth. So it's sort of like where the energy sort of escapes us. And I think of it like sound versus ejaculation.
Very
so that's just kind of,
that
makes sense.
That's a very nerdist interpretation. But it makes sense. It does. It makes sense. Now let's hear the kind of anthropological interpretation of
right.
why women make so much more sound than men when
right.
they come.
Well, scientists call it female copulatory vocalization.
Ooh!
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And there are graduate students all over the world with directional microphones in jungles capturing the vocalizations of female primates when they come.
Oh my goodness.
When they have sex. And it turns out that there's a lot of information in the noise that a female primate makes when she's having sex.
Ooh.
And interestingly, it's the primates that are promiscuous where the females make the most noise.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that tells
mm-hmm.
you something about our particular species. But males can, other primates that hear this
right.
female being screwed, can tell the status of the male who's screwing her and also how close to ovulation she is.
Ooh.
Yeah, you make different sounds. And
some
studies have
right.
been done on humans as well, but this is mostly other primates.
I'm going back in my head and I'm thinking about how I masturbate every day because sometimes I'm louder than others.
Uh-huh.
And I'm thinking maybe there is a little routine going
ovulation.
On because that's the only time that I'm really paying attention to the noises that I'm making is when I'm by myself.
Right.
And it's kind of an exhibitionistic thing that women do. You know, it's like we're getting fucked by one guy and we're letting all the other guys know that we're hot.
Right, right.
That might
and
hear, you know,
so
or girls,
what
or anybody,
does,
anybody in town, actually.
From a biological point of view, what it does is it promotes what's called sperm competition, which means that if you're having sex with several different guys while you're ovulating, their sperm competes. And so the sperm that's the best match with you biologically is the one that makes its way to the ovum.
Right.
Because the ovum isn't a passive thing just sitting back, like waiting to see who wins. The ovum can reach out and chemically choose the sperm of the man that is the best match in terms of immunological DNA. And also, your orgasm gives an advantage to the sperm of the man who made you come because it changes the pH inside your vaginal canal. So, I mean, I don't mean to take all the juiciness out of it with the science talk here.
No,
that's super hot.
Hot.
That is officially
I think
hot.
I think that's
the nerd's getting off
hot.
On it. I don't
know. Oh, no, no. I think the porn stars are getting off on
love
it.
I understand why chemically I love having sex with this guy as opposed to this guy. You know, it makes a lot of sense.
You know, I tell guys that want to get their women hot, that want to get their wives who are busy with the kids and with work and just putting off sex, I tell them to read your book so that'll turn the women on because hearing about this stuff kind of gets your juices flowing. It kind of puts those brain connections together that are in your body. I don't know if it turns the guys on that are reading it. I mean, guys like it, but I don't know that they get a hard on from reading Sex at Dawn. I don't think so.
I got one from writing it, I'll tell you.
Yeah. That's what you wrote it with,
It's hard to finish the damn thing.
No.
Time for another break.
Had to get some real life experience.
Yeah, a lot of research went into
that. Yes, exactly.
Yeah. But
think with both brains.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, you got to think with. And the book kind of addresses both brains. It's a turn on, and it's
like
funny,
that.
And of course, you know, laughter is a mental orgasm.
So I have a question. So did primates get louder around ovulation time, like when they were most fertile?
Yeah.
So
yeah, generally, it's louder around ovulation.
So because I mean, a lot of like porn, there's a lot of emoting, a vocalization. So it's almost like a constant ovulation
fest. Yes,
it's just like
yes, that's part of the exhibitionism of porn. It's not just the bodies; it's also the soundtrack's very important.
Mm-hmm.
The screaming. I mean, guys need that. Women need to hear that. I mean, it's just a very important thing.
Also, you know, male orgasm tends to be more intense when the man holds his breath. So that's another reason men don't make noise when they're coming. They're holding their breath because it makes it hot.
And women, we have more intensity when we breathe. You know? When we breathe in and out and, you know, kind of keep that,
I like that heavy
diaphragm
breathing.
Thing, that heavy breathing, right?
You know what I found fascinating? I had, I was with a guy about a year ago that showed me how to be, like, choked properly, not choked, but not to cut off the breathing, but cut off a little circulation just right.
Why is it the pretty girls like to get choked?
I love to be choked.
Just doing it right.
It's just dangerous. I got a problem with it. I mean, consensual, you know,
that's funny.
Many things are dangerous in life, so.
All in moderation.
Well, I mean, you know, you seem like a professional, you know what you're doing. I just get it. I'm a, one of my part-time jobs is I'm a consultant to the LA Public Defender's Office. Mm-hmm. And every once in a while, somebody accidentally gets killed. And so they think it's a really a murder with extenuating torture when it's done in the act of sex. And I kind of have to explain that this is a sex act and that they didn't mean, you know, the guy didn't mean to. It's usually a guy with a woman. He didn't mean to, but he's an asshole, so, you know, you can do something to him. But not not, you know, give him capital punishment. So anyway, so I mean, but hey, people choke each other and have great orgasms, and
if the point, I mean, at the point where your woman is dying, maybe you should take it easy. You know, you should have that worked out.
The there problem
should
be some
is sort of like safe word or
really
safe
fast.
Turning blue.
Yeah,
come on.
Well, I feel like there's so much sexuality. Like, humans love to explore and experience, and I feel like if we just taught people how to communicate and taught teenagers in sex ed class just about just that, yes, right. We realize that half of you are going to stick things in your butt. We realize this. Why don't you make sure it's flared at the bottom? Yeah. Like, just basics.
There needs to be more open dialogue with teenagers, with couples. You
don't
know?
Gag at the same time you're choking.
Yeah.
Right. But some people do that, you know. But anyway, don't do that. Okay. Well, gosh, you know, I'm feeling very lonely on this bed. So I feel that as the hostess with the mostess, I should offer the ritualistic drink here, which I need my beautiful assistant. Teja? Where is she? Okay, she's going to help me out here. So I think, you know, the only one who's ever been here before is you. And you did the agua shots, right?
Is that the green stuff?
Yeah, this is the green stuff.
Got me completely loopy.
This is our agua coco vif liqueur. Of course, there's Lily. Lily knows all about agua shots.
All about the agua
shots. That's right. That's right. Lily maybe could help with somebody who hasn't experienced an agua shot. Who wants one? I'll take the giggle as a yes. Okay, and where's Teja? Here you go. Oh, look at you in gold and black.
She looks great.
It's wintry,
right?
We're in our winter garb tonight.
She's like a Greek goddess.
Yes, beautiful. Yeah. Mm. And so this is agua coco leaf liqueur made from the coco leaf, but it is not illegal. It is not cocaine. Although it is, we do have the salt right here, which is an important part of the process, is that you sprinkle the salt on the body part of perhaps someone nearby, or, you know, I'm not going to, you know, this is
proximity.
This is all consensual, mm-hmm. So if you want to just lick your own body part, that's okay. But it'd be friendlier to lick someone else's body part. And titties are always a good bet, you know, for if you don't know which body part to go for.
Yeah, my friend to the left's boobies are distracting me.
Lily's offering hers already.
A tiny, tiny bit.
This is my function in life. Tits.
Yeah, Lily's got. She offers her titties on a platter, a brassiere platter, right here. Okay, so who's going to start? We've got everybody's got their little salt shaker there. Okay, so Lily Cade is a Gold Star lesbian. Speaking of girl,
Gold Star,
and just to give a blow-by-blow for those of you who are listening on Radio Suzy One,
girlfriend's phone.
Right now, Jaden is sprinkling salt profusely all over Lily's tits. I mean, really, you're having a salt fest. I hope you like salt.
The more salt, the more licking.
Exactly. It's great. You know.
I thought Sherry could help
so
me
this
out.
Is this is lime
is there,
salt.
Is there
actually.
Enough salt for two?
It's so good. I did two on purpose on each breast,
okay,
so that each
okay.
of us could
Lily
have.
Is offering her boobs like a goddess, a boobage. Okay, so oh, yeah, there we go. They're really coming out, and they're natural. They're very lovely and maternal, even though she's
Should we
a gold
go for
star
it, guys?
Lesbian. Yeah, go for it. Okay, the lick. Ready for the lick right now? Yeah.
All right.
There we go, and the photo op and
I have
the lick.
A really great angle. It's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like that? I'm learning.
I have the best angle, of course, but that's my perk. Okay.
Danny's turn. Right, she's going to put some salt on my boobies. There we go.
On your boobies. Mmm. There we go. And so now Jaden's boobies are getting salted. And Lily and now Danny are licking up the slope of the titties and going down to the nipples. And there's a smile
there's
on
a
her face.
Salt.
You know, careful with that white top. Yeah, yeah. That white top could get lipstick on it. You might need to take that
there's
off.
There's oh, definitely still some salt left, yeah. guys. It's not clean. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, sounds like you want to do some cleaning up of salt there.
I like watching the cleaning as well.
You know, maybe some of you should come up here and we can have some of the guests who haven't gotten on microphone on a microphone. We have a mic up here, too. So come on up here. Come on up here. Do your drinking. Up on the bed.
No, everyone's
right.
friends.
And we also have the book if you want to read. Okay, so who's coming up to the mics who hasn't? Here, you sit in the center. Or oh no, you want to sit next to Chris and tantalize him? Okay.
And tantalize from every direction.
Oh yeah, here we go.
Do we need a? Should I get up?
Now,
or should
but where's the microphone? Can we get the mic off of here, please? No. Yeah. And now, oh, where'd my, everything is getting rearranged here now. And so Lily Carter is now here, standing before the big dick candle, or sitting, actually. So Lily Carter, you're a interesting surprise tonight.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, well, I mean, get close to your mic, darling.
Can
That's
you hear me?
It. Yeah, okay. So, yeah, you came with Sherry, right?
Is that good?
You come down from Oregon, is that right?
Yeah, I live in Oregon, but I shoot down here in L.A.
And you're also a porn star?
I don't like the
what
word star.
What do you call
star.
Yourself?
I'm a porn chick.
Porn chick, okay. Porn chick is mm-hmm. is one thing. Then there's porn nerds. Actually, Misty Dawn. You know Misty Dawn? She's a real porn nerd. Yeah. Right. And she calls herself, she's such a porn nerd, she says prawn nerd. So are you kind of a little nerdy, or you're...
I'm a nerd. When I'm at home in Oregon, what I do for fun is read. You would think I'm like some whore, but I stay home and I read all day.
Well, whores read. So,
okay,
so...
No, but I actually don't have much sex when I go home. I go home and I save it all up for L.A., and then I have a blast and go back home.
Huh. That sounds a little hunter-gathery. Right there. Yeah, so you go out hunting for sex, and then you get a whole bunch of it, and then you go home and
exactly.
read a lot.
No, I masturbate a lot, too.
You masturbate, of course.
That's how I keep myself happy at home.
Sure, you got to keep the body in tune, right. Yeah, and do you make a lot of vocalizations when you masturbate?
Ever since I started masturbating when I was 14 years old.
Okay, so look at all these beauties in the bed. Did you all do your salt? Yeah, you did. Lily, you read the book, right? Whoop. Where's the microphone? Microphone?
I did read the book.
You
there it
did.
Is.
You actually read the book.
Yep.
So tell us what you thought.
Actually, I didn't read it. I listened to it on an audiobook because my wife is a member of Audible, and I downloaded it.
Wow.
So read is wrong, but, you know, I absorbed the book.
Okay. Well, that counts.
It's not because I'm a porn star and can't read.
Well, so what... Give me a reaction.
Well, as someone who's been in a non-monogamous relationship for 6 years and who's never actually had a monogamous relationship, and as someone who has been irritated by a lot of the crap coming out of the evolutionary psychology field, it was really refreshing.
All right. There you go.
It's a departure from a lot of the things that are coming out of evolutionary psychology, which is similar to what this book is. It is looking at the human past, or what we assume is the human past, and comparing that to our lives now and trying to deduce something about that. Most of the work that's coming out of that field, Steven Pinker, etc., is all about how...
Helen Fisher, who I love dearly.
It's all about confirming every bias we have ever and how they're all right. So, like, racism, it's inborn, and men are the way that men are because they should be powerful and dominate women, and
we have
blah,
to go
blah,
to
blah,
war.
Blah, blah, blah. We have to go to war because war is our birthright. Mm. And so I found this book really refreshing.
Yeah. And that we're monogamous, or that women are choosy about sex.
Right.
This whole idea that women only choose a guy that's going to be a good breadwinner. I mean, women love to have sex with women. Women love to have sex with all kinds of guys that aren't
with
good
themselves.
Women love to have sex with themselves. It's just
with
not,
anything.
It's not like we're so focused, you know. I mean, our parents probably wish we were. You know, I think that's maybe what... Is that why? Because our parents wish we were like that.
Well, our parents and the Pope and the
yeah, well, that's like
the
our
president.
Parents, right.
Yeah, it's all very political.
Yeah.
You know, telling us what we are, even though we know we aren't that thing, and then we spend our lives trying to live up to this false ideal. Mm. You know, it's all very political.
So what do you think is going on now? I mean, is there a revolution going on?
I think,
is this like Weimar Berlin, or is this like, what is going on with all these people, mostly women? I mean, there's some guy porn stars, of course, there always are, but there's a lot of women.
Yeah, I think something really exciting is happening in this country right now. We're at the end of a speaking tour, and the speaking tour was not arranged by our publisher. Our publisher is out of the picture.
No, publishers don't do that.
The speaking tour was arranged by our readers.
Cool.
Who got together in every city.
Well, I'm a reader.
Right, exactly.
I'm a reader, right.
But like groups of readers got together, raised money, rented venues, did advertising, arranged everything, and all I had to do was show up and give my little PowerPoint presentation, and like we had 600 people in Portland.
Wow.
Filled a theater. You know,
beautiful.
They sold out. San Francisco, 450 people on a Wednesday night.
Mm.
You know, it's people are really ready for a new way to think about human sexuality because they know that the way that we've been taught is bullshit. You know, we all kind of see through it.
And we're all seeing through it now somehow.
Well, I mean, Newt Gingrich is the less scandalous Republican candidate right now. I mean, imagine that, you know?
Right.
The guy who's been married three times and had affairs, you know, dumped two wives while they were sick.
I mean,
he's the good guy.
Yeah, well, then there's the Mormon, you know.
And there's the Mormons. I mean,
And of course, the one with the harem just dropped out of the race, but yeah.
No, I've noticed a huge polyamorous community in the L.A. area. Like, I've noticed, I had no idea, and it's like, oh my God.
But it's all over the world.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not just America.
Yeah.
It's coming
everywhere.
Out of the closet.
It's, I mean, I'm as a therapist, I talk to people all over the world. And in the Muslim world, they're also swinging, and, you know, they're doing it under their sheets.
Do you know our book? Our book is being translated right now in Iran, illegally.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, people are risking prison to translate the book.
Wow, that's exciting.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. So what's going on back here? So I was wondering if, you know, we were talking about female vocalizations, and I was just wondering if anyone wanted to do a vocalization of some sort. And I'm not talking about Harry Met Sally type vocalization. That's kind of fake. But we have different toys
I'll
and
make
of
sounds.
Each other. You'll make sounds if
people make me make them.
Okay, who wants to make Lily make a sound?
I'll help her.
They're all game. Everyone's game.
All right, let's make sounds. All right, here goes Lily. Lily's got her tough girl outfit on, and now it's coming off.
I'm not going to take this all the way off because I can't. So.
Okay, her panties are coming off, just in case Panty Boy is wondering. She's got those red panties coming off. And now, we're going to hear your vocalizations here. Where's my lovely assistant? Okay, can you... okay, we're going to hold the microphone so that the vocalizations are Audible. Yeah, I think you want to take these off. Too much trouble. No, but this is that. No. Here, you help her. Help her take those off because Jeremy is so clunky, and it's on my bed. I mean, that's couth. This is my boudoir. You don't wear your boots into my bed, even if you are butch. You know, look at those red panties. Right. These horrible socks. Yes. I have a client who would love those. Oh my!
Is that a bonobo between her legs?
Yes. Oh, there's bonobos here. There's gorillas. This is a Yale bonobo, actually. It's purple. Yeah. So we got rid of the boots. There we go. We got the clothes over there. Don't steal Lily's clothes now. All right. So you want to hold this now? Look at this. Now, Lily is an amazing woman, really. Her wife is out in the audience right now. I don't know if she wants to be identified.
The orange-haired
woman, right. How you doing? You okay? You want to get on a microphone?
Mm-hmm. He's in my face.
Do you want to talk? What? I'm just wondering if you would like to say something about seeing your lovely wife being pleasured by all these beautiful women.
Does it upset you?
I think it's awesome. I've never been a jealous person ever in my life.
I think they should take some clothes off.
Unless my partner's being mean to me. I've never been a jealous person.
That's good. Mm-hmm. That's good. We're going to talk about jealousy in a second, but don't you think they should take some clothes off too?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
So soft.
Should we help you? Maybe my assistant should help, since she has the microphone. Help her take her clothes off. Oh, she's got a lot to do. Putting the condom on the Hitachi because the Hitachi is
used
so often.
Don't take the Hitachi yet. It's too strong.
It's too strong. We have other vibrators. We have penthouse vibrators and pocket rockets.
Hitachi
the hands are probably just as good.
Yeah. I like that it's in an Easter basket, all these different toys.
Oh, you want to use the G-spot mode thing. Yeah, that's kind of cool.
Variety there we is go. The spice of life.
Yeah.
Isn't it, though?
Well, Sandra, do you have any ideas for what they... here we go.
Wait, I think she figured it out. I think so, too. We're good.
Wow. Okay, that was a real vocalization right there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God, yeah.
Okay. Getting hot in here.
From what I can see, it's just hands, so good work out there.
here we go. She's certainly getting taken care of.
I have that for a reason. I got that when I was 18.
And the pocket rocket's coming out. Was that a typical female vocalization?
Basically.
I haven't heard enough to say what's typical.
I mean,
in my experience, she's especially loud.
That's loud.
Vocalization.
You gotta wait for the third orgasm. That's when she really gets loud.
All right. Very good. Let's hear it for Sister Lily and her harem of lovers. And the fine example of female vocalization.
I feel like she might be ovulating.
Or, yeah, could be. Are you, Lily? Are you ovulating?
I have no idea.
Is this 14 days after your first day of menstruating?
Oh, my God.
Can we get a...
She's busy.
Okay, math right now.
But, you know, as a sex nerd, you probably know that women do all sorts of things different when they're ovulating. They wear more perfume, more jewelry, more likely to have unprotected sex, more likely to have sex with a stranger.
They get crazy.
Sure. It's like our hormones are guiding us very much so.
How did I get so lucky?
Well, now there's more activity here. Okay.
Girls, like,
so I've got Marugan on the microphone now. Hello, Marugan.
Hello.
Boys in the audience.
Enjoying the show.
Yeah,
Like, pussy's so fucking good.
I couldn't be luckier. I'm enjoying the show. It's wonderful.
And this is your first time on the show? You've been at the show.
Correct. It's the first time on the show.
Feels so good.
Wow. That's Danny there. She's getting pleasured now.
You taste amazing.
That little Betty Boop cartoon voice is now feeling good and using a pocket rocket. I think we need a battery for the pocket rocket. Oh, we do need a battery?
Maybe not.
It's good. Oh, okay. Oh, very good. Okay. Oh, here it goes. Danny. Are you girls all meeting each other for the first time tonight? I think so.
Oh, my God.
I mean, so much for the whole idea of women wanting to get to know you before having sex. You know, isn't that conventional wisdom? You know, the guys are the ones that just want to jump in.
Oh, no.
But women just don't do that because... I think because we don't want to be called sluts, or some of us don't want to be, and so we hold back. But if we don't mind, then hey.
There's some research that just came out showing that women who feel safe and who expect the guy to be good in bed or expect to have a good time are just as interested in casual sex as men are.
Yeah.
So the problem is the feeling of safety and that he's going to actually be good in bed. If they think it's, you know, it could be risky and he's going to come in 3 minutes, then
right,
they're not
right.
interested.
Well,
yeah.
Guys have to perform. Whoa, look at this nice little butt right in front of me. Very nice. Okay. So the womb room is breaking out into communal ecstasy right now, just in case you're listening. I mean, at least there is some communal ecstasy going on in my bed. And then we have the onlookers. Wow. Listen, that's some female vocalization right there. Now, who was that? Was that Danny?
That was Lily.
That was Lily.
Lily.
Lily wasn't coming. Oh, no, maybe she was. Oh, yes, she was. I didn't realize she was getting... This is like a daisy chain. She's coming from behind.
Yeah, this is a definite team effort.
This is.
Yes.
Right. Have you seen a radio show like this before?
No. Mine is not like this at all.
Well, ours is not always like this. I mean, Christopher
now, nothing
was here
happened
when it,
last time.
Last
I
time
was here.
It was,
you kept
know,
it real tame.
I did.
I was here.
Well, now I figure you're ready to graduate.
Thank you.
You know, this is the advanced level.
Oh, okay.
Right. And your wife is here. Oh. So I thought we'd, you know, go to the advanced levels with
thank
her
you.
Here,
thank
right?
You.
Yeah, you having a good time, Casilda?
Yeah.
Can you get on the mic? Just let her say. Just say definitely. I just want to hear her beautiful voice say.
Oh, definitely.
Oh, thank you. Good. Whoa, ladies.
Red hair.
Lots,
the ladies
of,
are
lots of red hair. I'm
yeah.
glad I changed my color to that.
Oh my God!
You know, I think the theme is female vocalizations. Wow.
That sounded real.
Uh-oh, I see the Hitachi.
This is a field survey.
That sounded real.
It changes lives.
I'm just holding my breath.
Oh, wow.
Oh, that was fun. I loved it.
How many times have you made her come in a night?
Oh, my God. There have been times I've lost count. I've been like, okay, let me see how many I can
oh.
get.
That's how I am.
Have
I've
lost
never
count.
Are we in the jungle? It sounds a little jungle.
About orgasm six is when she really gets in a groove.
Yeah, and then she just keeps coming, right?
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
like me.
Well,
Puba wants to do a scene with me. Here.
Let me ask you, Lily's wife. Lily's wife. What's your name again?
Sten.
Sten. Does she have sex like this with you?
Oh, yeah.
Wow. And do you like the group thing, or do you like to just be with her and watch the group thing?
I'm pickier than she is about partners. I like it to be somebody that I know. But when we get people that we like together, then, yeah, we've had group sex on numerous occasions.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Group sex is getting to be really just, you know.
When we got
like
married.
Like bowling, you know. I mean.
When we got married, we threw a lesbian bachelorette orgy.
Need to take some clothes off.
Oh, yeah.
You can't talk unless you're on a microphone.
And she hasn't. I know, I don't know how to squirt.
She wants me to teach her how to squirt.
That's right, we were talking about that.
7 minutes.
Okay.
Good luck. These are tight.
I think she's So, whoa.
I love the clothing negotiation. That's really the hardest part, is just getting naked in an elegant fashion.
I don't think there's a way to do that.
Yeah, not right now.
just tearing clothes off right now.
Very elegant. I think it's going on very elegantly with the Sex at Dawn books just
Careful about this.
She just licked a book. I love
it. She licked a book. She did. She's like having sex with a book.
I love that book enough to lick it.
Wow. Panty boys love the panties. Okay, panties are going everywhere. Wow. All these girls are just all into each other. I mean, this is very much like, of course, bonobo females.
GG rubbing, yes.
GG rubbing and just everything. Rubbing.
That's a lot more difficult with human women.
Hey, do you guys know how to do tribadism? Tribbing?
Tribbing.
Of course you do. Tribbing? You don't like to do tribbing so much, or do you? We were just talking about it. You could give it an example.
But I can give you an example.
give us an example. It's fun to watch.
It's one of the things I only do in porn.
Right.
We normally not do that. That's not true. We've done it when we were drunk a couple of times.
Attempts.
Why aren't you a fan of tribbing?
It's really, really difficult. It's too much like, are you in the right angle? It's like if we had enormous genital swellings, maybe that would make it easier, but...
You know, you've got to...
There's too much trigonometry
really
involved.
Right now, I know what you mean.
Have you tried tribbing?
Yes, and it's right, it's all angles. It's where there's a lot of geometry in your brain going on. Like, okay, I know where the anatomy is. If I angle this way, and now my hip hurts. Oh, God, my hip hurts.
Okay.
If you can get to the point where, like, basically anything will get her off, then that's when that works.
Amazing body.
Got a bunch of callers. Good to midnight? Okay. Why don't we run a commercial right now? Run a commercial.
Just rubbing your G-spot.
We're going to take a little
Somebody
break.
Should be rubbing
don't
your
come yet and don't go away. We'll be right back.
And then we're going to bring out the Hitachi and we're going to make you really cool.
Sexual life. Whether you're married or single, monogamous, polyamorous, or even polymorphously perverse, Dr. Block's Ten Commandments of Pleasure will help you to enjoy and cultivate love, lust, and life itself as never before. With delicious humor and wisdom, and inspired by the bonobo way of peace through pleasure, this international bestseller, translated into 10 different languages and now in its third English language edition, has become the sexual Bible to millions of singles and couples around the world. Why? Because it gives you the keys to giving pleasure. The power to give pleasure is the greatest power that you have. Discover that power within you through Dr. Susan Block's 10 Commandments of Pleasure. Order your copy today. Call 213-670-0066. We're here for you 24/7, so there's no need to wait. Call 213-670-0066 today. Nina Hartley calls them the best commandments to come around in the past 2,000 years. Dr. Susan Block's 10 Commandments of Pleasure gives you the erotic keys to a healthy sexual life. Whether you're married or single, monogamous, polyamorous, or even polymorphously perverse, Dr. Block's 10 Commandments of Pleasure will help you to enjoy and cultivate love, lust, and life itself as never before. With delicious humor and wisdom, and inspired by the bonobo way of peace through pleasure, this international bestseller, translated into 10 different languages and now in its third English language edition, has become the sexual Bible to millions of singles and couples around the world. Why? Because it gives you the keys to giving pleasure. The power to give pleasure is the greatest power that you have. Discover that power within you through Dr. Susan Block's 10 Commandments of Pleasure. Order your copy today. Call 213-670-0066. We're here for you 24/7, so there's no need to wait. Call 213-670-0066 today.
Okay, And so we got to get back into microphones, everybody.
Cold.
We are back.
Yes.
Sure.
Yeah. You can lean all you want.
All right. And take the mic away from them now. Okay.
There's a mild fisting going on over
yes,
here.
Yes.
Yes.
We've got fisting.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, geez.
Okay. And I got to sit somewhere here. So. Okay.
Not
so, Lily Cade is a force of nature.
Wow.
Yes, she is.
Yeah, so, all right. And so we do have fisting. We have fisting of Sherry now. And I said don't let her have a microphone, but she's talking beyond the microphone. Okay. Beautiful. Let's give a hand for Sister Sherry and Danny and Lily. Beautiful. Beautiful ladies. Mmm. Yes, so beautiful. So much sex, so much pussy. All right. So, here we are. We just got a few more minutes. So, how are you all doing?
Awesome.
Wonderful.
I kind of switched up my view. I was on the bed there with the ladies, and that was fun, but I kind of like this view as well.
You do. You're also a voyeur.
I am. It's weird. It's funny how you discover new things about your sexuality when you start writing a book about sex, when you're doing podcasts about sex, or having sex on camera. You learn things about your own sexuality that you didn't even know.
Totally. What are you learning tonight?
All the great angles of these new ladies and who I'm going to put on my future to-do list.
And don't forget your to-read list.
Of right. course.
Or audiobook, yeah. Right.
I kind of like the old school, having a bookshelf and being able to fill up a bookshelf. There's something about having a book that I just haven't lost. I'm not falling really into the whole ebooks. I understand the convenience when you're going out of town, but I love to have a full bookshelf with books.
The old-fashioned book, just reading. So
when you
really
start piling them on the ground, like when you have like knee-high piles of sex books on the ground, it's like, okay, maybe I should audiobook it. So it's like, you know, the dirty talk book on the big butt book, and there's the guy to getting it on. You're like, oh, I have a lot of books.
Yeah. I'm really
my
horny.
Oak shelves do this.
Yeah, these are buckling.
It's too funny.
So, I understand you're single now.
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, you did. You learned things from my blog, huh?
I am.
Hello.
As of how long have you been single?
About 2.5 months. Yeah, okay. Out of a monogamous relationship. Yeah, so.
With a male or a female?
With a male.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Are you bi or hetero or?
I don't discriminate.
Right.
I'm an equal opportunity person. You know.
And there's more of that now nowadays, yeah. Right? And mostly with women. I mean, it is with guys too, but the guys don't want to admit to it.
I think. Right?
I'll admit to it.
Yeah. Sexuality.
Yeah. Who's admitting to it now?
No.
Marugan?
Yeah.
Yeah. You're bisexual.
No.
Oh.
I approve of everyone's choices in life because it's their life and they should live it the way they want to.
And whether it's love or just a sexual chemistry, those kinds of chemistries doesn't have boundaries like looks. I mean, physically, you know, sometimes I've been into so many different women and guys and people. It's just there's no age and race and religion. All that stuff just disappears. The sexual connection is something you can't explain. You never know who you're going to meet. Get an
yeah, order. Well, I don't think it is in our genetic code to be racist.
I know, yeah, exactly.
No, not really.
Not really. I mean,
or
mixing.
Or sexist or whatever.
I mean, societies have fought societies and it hasn't been over color, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I just have to say, I think I'm having a wet dream this very moment here.
Yeah.
Everyone's
oh, look at this! Oh, that's so cute.
I am living every writer's dream.
This is the post-sex post.
Where's the book?
All the ladies are on the bed.
They're all naked,
naked
women
reading.
On the bed looking,
naked
reading
women
our
reading
book.
Reading your book. Isn't that a beautiful thing?
It's unbelievable.
That's great. This should be up in the library.
Richard Dawkins should have it this good.
She's pointing to me.
I'm going
to
tell you, Steven Pinker has never seen his book in this context.
No, let alone Helen Fisher. Wow, that is a photo op right there.
Yeah. I just wanted to say, when we finished your book, we went home and had really hot sex.
Beautiful. Yeah. Thank you.
I can't wait to read
this book.
And did you read it first?
Yeah, I read it first. She had heard the beginning of it, but she just finished it actually like last week.
Amazing.
We get such amazing emails from people. There's a couple in Idaho who they're young. They've got a couple kids. They're in their 30s. And they were divorced. And independently, different friends gave each of them the book. They read the book and said, oh, shit, what did we do? And they got back together and they're remarried.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
They remarried because they just reframed the whole thing. Like somebody had an affair or whatever. And it just became like not that big a deal anymore. Yeah. And what are we doing?
Well, that is interesting that your book can actually help people to stay together.
Yeah.
Because it points out that, you know, it's not anybody's fault if you don't keep the lust, you know, burning at high levels, you know, for 30 years and with just one person, that this is not really part of our natural ability.
That's Dan Savage point. Dan Savage makes that point often, that it's essentially a conservative message. Definitely. You know, to be more compassionate and tolerant and flexible about what goes on in a relationship preserves the relationship.
The open and honest part of a relationship is what makes the difference between a typical what we're raised to believe, the Republican sort of views. It's sort of a pathway to destruction in the relationship because there's a lot you're hiding and holding back. And
you don't
have that open dialogue. And for health reasons and other reasons, you need to have that open dialogue.
And that makes
the connection stronger. I don't feel like it ever takes away from a relationship.
Yeah.
I feel like you're just being truly unveiled and open.
Well, and if it is destructive, that's a relationship that isn't built to last anyway.
Right.
So better to get that out. You know, be who you are.
Absolutely.
And that's, if you're building a relationship on a false idea of who you are, then, you know, come on. Why are you going to wait till you have a few kids to figure out what's really going on?
And most people do.
Yeah,
it's funny.
Exactly.
You see the flaws, and most people do. But
Well, most people are so afraid of being judged badly.
Yeah.
We really want to be liked. And so, you know, we don't want to talk about all these things because it's really risky.
Yeah.
It's scary. It's,
that's why I often suggest when people have something they really want to talk about that they don't bring it up, that they just find a book, literally, and say, oh, look at what that, you know, isn't that interesting? And so it's like it's not really you. Mm-hmm. At least at first. But then if the person says, oh, yes, it is interesting, then you can say, well, you know, I fantasized about that, actually. And then go from there. So Sex at Dawn, or actually a gazillion books are out there, and just articles online, Sandra's blog. You know, you can just point to that, and you can just blame that author or blogger for you know having those opinions.
What's the URL of Sandra's blog? I'd like to check it out.
I mean, Sex Nerd Sandra. You can just search for it on iTunes, but it's under the Nerdist label, so you can go to Nerdist.com and check it under podcasts.
Okay.
There is a show we did called Stress Relief, where I had a couple come on, and they had been experimenting with an open relationship, and the strongest thing was to have a monogamous relationship but with open communication.
Yes,
And they started there, and to actually be able to say, like, I'm feeling attracted to this person, or I feel this.
Right.
I mean, that was the first step for them, and it actually saved a marriage of a fan who listens a lot. So, yeah.
Well, really, I mean, that's one way to make monogamy work, is just through fantasy. You know, you just confess, you know, I was fantasizing about you might not want to say your sister. you have to pick. See,
unless you're talking to a guy.
You know, well, okay, right. You could do it that way. But, I mean, sometimes you do have to be careful of people's feelings.
Sure.
I mean, is jealousy natural?
What we say in the book is that jealousy is natural in as much as it's an expression of insecurity and fear of losing something important to you. In that sense, it's natural. But as an expression of obsession over someone else's sex life,
Yeah.
That's not natural. That's a culturally defined expression of that fear.
Mm. Because our ancestors, you know, they were in these small groups of anywhere from 20 to 100 people, not these big cities where you could lose someone. I mean, just because someone has sex with someone doesn't mean you're going to lose them because you're in this small group. So, they'll probably get bored with that other person pretty quickly and come back to you.
Yeah.
But in the big city, you know, if someone has sex with someone else, it's frightening because they could go off to France. You know, right. and forget about you, or change careers, or you know, the insecurity is real.
Yeah, and we live in this zero sum world where my loss is someone else's gain, and vice versa. And you know, when you imagine the world in which our ancestors lived socially, it was a world of plentitude.
Yeah, and that brings up a point that you make in the book, which is, since we know that a mother can share her love amongst several children, and we never question that,
right.
Why do we question why a person couldn't share their love amongst several lovers? How come, I mean, a mother's love is the most important thing, you know, so how can she divide her love? And yeah, I mean, kids sometimes suffer from having several kids that they've got to, you know, several siblings they've got to share the love with, but a kid that's an only child also suffers, you know.
I think you bring up a very interesting point, sort of, in the sense that we grow up with one mother, and if we're lucky, one father. Mm. Whereas our ancestors grew up with many mothers and many fathers.
Well, there you go. Right.
So the idea that you're dependent on one person for everything is built into us. It starts at the very beginning. Whereas in the societies of our ancestors, pre-agricultural ancestors, they didn't have that sense that they only had one mother and one father who provided for them. And if they were abandoned by those people, then they were lost. There were many adults who were taking care of them. And still, Casilda says in Africa, it's still the same way where she grew up. You know, women breastfeed one another's kids. Mm. You know, it's normal. It's no big deal.
Well, I think that's coming back. I mean, I think that, you know, groups of women are having sex and building communities and going into business together and sharing the raising of children. And guys are handling it, I guess. I mean, how are the guys
Well, there's something in it for the guys.
Sex.
When exactly.
It's like the bonobo world. Yeah, exactly. Why do the guys put up with the females getting the first dibs on the food and kind of bossing everybody around? Well, because the guys get laid all the time.
Exactly.
You know, so guys like that, you know, don't they?
I think they do.
They're
fans. Yeah, guys do like that. But I don't know. Guys seem to maybe have a little trouble. I don't know. Well, I mean, I think for the most part, they love this revolution of women's sexuality. But maybe some are scared of losing their power. I don't think any are in this room right now.
I'd like to think that it's a revolution, like the sexual revolution going on is for males and females, that it's not just women, but that males can be liberated as well.
Well, yeah.
You know?
They're liberated to be feminine.
I get like the sense of sort of almost excitement, or like they can relax, like when a guy finds out that like if a guy's dating me and I want to hook up with a girl, or whether he's involved or not, I see some sort of like or some sort of relaxing sigh of like, okay, she's open sexually, this is awesome, you know what I mean?
So yeah,
it just kind of opens the dialogue for
do they not expect you to be open?
Yeah, sometimes really? When you talk like, okay, no, I am really, I like this girl, I want to bring her in, or I want to be with her, or I'm going to probably be with her whether you're there or not, and they kind of breathe a sigh of relief, because then there's that open dialogue of them talking about what they're attracted to, or what they're into, or what they're not into.
Right.
And there's a lot more open dialogue, and it's more freeing.
Right.
Know?
Yeah.
So just at 26 and only being in the industry for 2 years, that's kind of what I figured out.
So,
as I
do you
go.
Have guys in your life?
I have, I wouldn't say monogamous, but I have sort of men that I've seen over the past 2 years, but it's all been pretty, like, you know, you just establish your connections. I've never really been too promiscuous with men, or comfortable being promiscuous with men. I feel a lot more comfortable. Mm. Women have a more grasp on it. I think men
it's rare to find a man that, I don't know, gets my gears grinding, I guess, more so than women.
Uh-huh.
Well, that's a nice thing about lesbian relationships, whether you're a lesbian or not, yeah. Is that you don't have to deal with all that gender bullshit. You don't have, like, roles prescribed to you. You can just, definitely, like, make it up as you go.
It's rare to find, for me to find a guy that doesn't have that role bullshit, that sort of insecure masculine, I need to be this certain way, you need to only see me and I'm the only man. That is why it's rare for me to find a guy that I can really click with sexually. Because
okay.
You have to drop the insecurity, you know.
Mm. And what does the naked lady think?
I lost my clothes.
It's always good to have a naked lady on a show. Yeah, very nice. So you lost him, you don't know where.
It could be anywhere.
Okay. Well.
Lost in the
now,
gorilla.
Now, I know that Murugan is going to do a finale of
yes.
an act. Is that
all right?
Right.
One of which, what would you like to see?
You have to get on one of the mics somewhere here because I can't hear you.
Well, what would you like to see tonight, Susie? Would you like to see some mind and matter? Mind over matter?
Mind over matter.
Yes.
I don't know. I guess so. I guess that sounds
would you like
dirty
to see
and,
that?
And,
yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. And also, too, I would like to reenact my AVN nomination award this year.
All right.
Of Most Outrageous Sex Act.
The Most Ooh. Outrageous Sex Act. Now,
yes.
this is what Why? We want to see.
Yes.
Okay. And so is this what you so you're going to do something first? You're going to do some mind over matter.
I'll do some mind over matter first.
Okay, let's do that first,
okay.
And then we want to get
Give
to the outrageous
Give me 1 minute
sex
to grab my stuff.
Okay, grab
we'll
it.
Okay.
Grab your stuff. I thought it was right between your legs. Okay, okay, never mind.
The suspense is building. What's
yeah.
the most outrageous sex act? I don't know.
I think it's probably pretty outrageous. You know, I mean, we. Murugan is full of surprises.
If
right.
he can impress this panel, like, geez.
Yeah, exactly.
Especially
huh.
kind of by Seems himself. I don't see any monkeys or, you know.
Not so far. He might need a volunteer. I'm not sure.
We got a naked lady right here.
Well, we do. We do have a naked lady, so don't
yeah,
put your clothes on, just
much.
In case.
You
right,
like
right.
a panel full of lesbians.
Panel full of lesbians. And Chris. Right.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay. So Lily is also a almost naked lady back there, right?
I'm naked enough.
I'm excited that you guys read Sex at Dawn together and had sex after.
So cool.
Did you have it at dawn or till dawn?
No.
It was like 3.
It was very late.
3
at
in the
night.
Morning. Okay. All right. And did you feel like you were you know, our ancestors?
Well, it was this thing they talk about it in the book where women are kind of turned on by anything.
Mm.
And so just the fact that we were listening to a book about sex made us want to go do it.
All right.
Women can be stimulated so many other random ways than men can. Men are pretty basic and straightforward, and it seems
don't
like
edit porn.
Yeah.
editing porn will make it really hard for you to get turned
to live.
On.
Right. Oh, you mean you're desensitizing
yeah.
yourself.
Yeah.
You
yeah,
feel like watching porn is...
Oh, I'm going to watch this same shot of like some fingers going in, and I'm going to try to sync it to this other shot that doesn't actually match, and the sound is wrong. Yeah, don't edit porn.
Suddenly it's work.
Okay. Do you think porn is generally desensitizing people?
Yeah, in general.
I mean, even writing about sex, there's a sense in which I'm just like, not tonight, but in general, I'm sort of like just sick of talking about sex, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I
oh
mean,
my God.
I'm just enough, you know? I want to write another book about something that's not. But I have to say, this is the best radio interview I've ever done.
Yay!
I've done a lot of them, but. This takes the cake right here.
You got to tweet that now, you know.
I wish beautiful women would lose their clothes in every radio interview.
Yeah, it does make it, you know, kind of.
I'd be out
fun.
On the road
I do
more.
Lose
I'll tell you.
In every radio interview I do.
Yeah, you do. Really. I mean, I don't know if you do it on all the radio interviews you do, but you do it here. That's for sure. Okay, so we're getting ready for this wild sex act. Yeah. Okay. Oh no,
cool.
We're doing mind over matter. Yes, we are ready. Okay, so here we go. So, do you need a microphone? Do you need to speak?
Sure.
Okay, so.
All right. What I'm about to show everybody is over 34 years of transcendental meditation. I've studied transcendental meditation all my life. I've learned to actually control my body, to refocus pain, repair my body, self-healing, rapid self-healing. I'm going to show everybody a demonstration of that. But this isn't to gross you out. It's actually to show you just how strong the mind is. We only use 10% of our brains, you know, and so I'm showing, hopefully I'm showing you something. It's a little extreme, but it kind of proves the point. What I'm going to do is I'm going to take this sharpened piece of metal rod that I have right here in my hand. Mm-hmm. It's got a handle bent on one end, and there's a sharpened end on the other. And I'm going to poke it from one side of my body right out the other without pain and without bleeding.
Oh, did our ancestors do this?
Not
they
intentionally.
Did.
Oh, the Sundance.
I have been to the Sundance.
Yes, they would actually pierce their nipples and then dance in the sun and tighten up the ropes and tighten them up so tight that it would finally pull it right out of their nipples.
Wow.
Yes, it was ceremonial.
Right, I think I saw a movie about that.
A man called Horse.
Right,
they get pulled out into the tree of life by different areas in their body, yeah. It's pretty...
Sort of like suspension.
Yeah. Hardcore.
Okay. All right, everyone's having a look at the metal thing. We know it's metal.
Well, there it is, yep.
Okay. Here we go. Murugan the Magnificent is going to now stick himself. Pain? Not feeling pain.
At this point, I'm putting myself in almost a state of an entrancement.
I'm looking at his face because I just love... the lack of reaction.
Wow.
He's moving his bicep around.
I thought the lack of reaction there was a problem.
He's halfway through.
The pin through his arm.
This is not only going through the skin, but it's actually going through the center of my bicep.
If you're just listening on radio, oh my God.
Oh, hey.
Now he's sticking it all the way through his arm.
Wow.
Whoa.
Bravo. No blood.
Jaden really seems to be turned on by this.
Does that affect your weightlifting ability?
Wow.
No, it doesn't at all. As a matter of fact,
Danny,
I weightlift just fine with it in my arms.
Danny is holding her mouth as if she's afraid she might upchuck. What is going on? How do you feel about this, Sandra?
I feel emotions.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know
I can't
either.
I feel things.
Cool. Casilda's sweating.
Yeah.
She's a doctor.
I've actually lowered my heart rate, lowered my blood pressure, so that when I remove this, it's not going to bleed.
It's
watch.
Sterile. It's
good,
sterile.
Because I don't want you to bleed all over my bedspread. Squirting is one thing.
It's not even lubed.
I believe it. I think this mind over matter stuff is cool.
Okay. Wow.
Pulling it out now. Slowly and...
Wow. Be careful. We're not in short for this. Okay.
Wow.
Let's hear it for Brother Murugan. Wow. Everyone has their talents. You know, it's exactly true. Okay, so now...
Now, hopefully, there's a volunteer. I want to reenact what I did for the movie called Enter the Peep Show by Club Jenna, Spice Channel. I did the most death-defying sex act ever attempted on any stage. If we got any volunteers who would like to give me a blowjob while I swallow swords.
With a condom?
With a condom on the sword?
No, well.
I know where the swords have been. No, I'm tested, so I've got a current test. So do we have any volunteers?
I know
volunteers.
Where they've been, and I still don't want to put them in my mouth.
She knows where the swords have been.
So it happens we have a lot of girls. Oh, we have a volunteer!
Okay, but I'm even going to bust that at one point here.
Okay.
I'm gonna actually do multiples this time.
All right. Okay,
so
hold the mic. Okay, here we go. This is, you know, the most dangerous sex act or the most outrageous or... The craziest.
Some guys will do anything for a blowjob.
Really, you know? Exactly. It's like, this is his, he's
That's
got
great.
Some talent.
It's
you
a
know?
Beautiful
and,
sword.
And he's got a girl to suck his cock right away. You know? Guys, when you want to know how to get a woman to suck your cock, all you have to do is learn to swallow a sword, and you'll find a woman.
To swallow a sword. Hey, maybe I'll make some noises, too. Some of them might be gagging. But you will hear some noise out of me tonight.
Yeah. Okay, so now Murugan the Magnificent is removing his yogi.
Magnificent.
He's unsheathing his sword.
Is now going. He's got a problem with the a wardrobe malfunction, I think, back here.
Okay. Fabulous pants.
Okay.
Are we set?
I guess
yours. All right. Here we go.
All right.
Put it on for me. No.
Trying to figure out who's putting the condom on.
I like it.
Yeah,
I like
it on.
You put it on.
I know. Yellow.
Okay, so now Johnny Lynch is on one knee, and Murugan is holding his swords, the metal ones.
While his sword is sheathed.
And the other sword between his legs has been sheathed.
It's being sheathed.
Or it's unsheathed. What is it? Oh, it's being sheathed. Right, okay. I don't have as good a view as you guys. Okay, so you need to help me with the play-by-play, because you're right in front of it. So now we're sheathed,
right? I think
his
dick's getting pretty hard.
Everyone watch Johnny's beautiful lips.
It is really beautiful. Oh, my gosh. She's got some great teeth. Big sucking lips.
I love it. Big sucking lips right here.
I'm getting the profile view, and it's pretty amazing.
Oh, yeah.
She's already lifted up her throat, so she can take the whole thing.
She's very good.
I love that.
Now...
Ooh, that's so hot.
Okay, so we've got some stuff going on already here. We've got some fellatio, and so far it's pretty normal.
Johnny says the trick is lots and lots of saliva.
And Johnny's doing a great job
booze.
With that.
And booze.
And booze. For you to drink it, not him, right? Yeah. Right, you don't want a booze cock. Okay. Are you? Is the cock talking?
That's pretty good. That doesn't happen often.
It's getting bigger.
It is.
Yeah, she is very good. You know, she's an oral girl. Okay. And
she gives
right
the balls a little love.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
I'm almost in the mood to swallow.
Yeah.
She's got spit.
Well, now,
fingers.
Are you just going to hold the sword? Or was this just a ploy to get your dick sucked?
Sword hasn't gone anywhere.
Busted.
I'm going to try to drop this one. This one's almost, 25, 26? Well, here we go.
Okay.
All right, that's 8 times. That's 3 times the amount, girls. If you're lucky, sucking an 8-inch dick, right? 3 times the amount.
Feeling a little.
Wow. This is the ultimate deep throat.
This is a very well hung sword you got here. 27 inches.
Lick it before you stick it.
You got to lick it before you sticks it.
Yeah, lubrication is very important for sword swallowing.
Could you
and fellatio.
Water over there. Kind of
oh, there you go.
Wow. Good girl. She's still
going.
He's working on his throat loop while she's working
doing a good job.
At the same time, all right? You go, balls, and I'll try to go as far as I can.
Now I got a good view. Good job.
See, Dr. Susie, isn't this a great view?
it's a very good view.
He's blocking my view of you, but that's okay.
Now I've got a view of it.
Oh,
whoa!
Wow.
Oh. Murugan is swallowing a sword
sword
Johnny swallows
completely.
She kind of pulled away from his dick, and he's like, "Oh no!"
Whoa! Amazing! Most dangerous sex act: Murugan and Johnny Lynch.
Everyone lives.
All right, that is a finale.
You're so hungry.
Okay. Oh my God, there's more.
No,
okay.
We don't have 3 more
these
dicks.
These are heavy swords.
I expect you at least to go balls.
We need 3 more dicks.
Hang with me as long as I can, all right? I got 3 times the amount now.
It's teamwork now. It's teamwork.
Now it's an orgy.
did his dick change when he swallowed the sword? I want to hear from Johnny. Just did the dick stayed the same?
The dick was, I think it was this. I mean, yeah, it got harder. Woo! This time you got to keep it in your throat the whole time. Dang, I'm trying.
That's a good hope.
I'm doing, look,
okay,
I'm
here
doing
we go.
Too.
Don't fuck with me.
Okay, Meridian Inn. Okay. He has four swords. Or is it three?
It's four.
It's four. It's four. Four swords, and they're heavy. 27-inch.
Wow. And in they go. Four swords. Oh, yeah. And a whole lot of
she meat. Looks like she's got about four swords.
Oh,
she pulled out first.
She did. Wow. Amazing.
She did tap out first, but you know what?
I don't. I'm still I feel wonderful.
Cocks are thicker than swords.
I haven't come yet.
That's for the after party.
Well, that's the after party.
Yeah, definitely. That's yeah. The, okay. All right, let's hear it for Brother Murugan and Sister Johnny.
You know you're old when you pull stuff out and you see spider webs on it.
The greatest act of deep throating ever.
Oh.
Wow.
That's Johnny's
amazing.
Tip. That kind of spit.
That's Johnny's tip.
That kind of spit.
Yeah, oh yeah.
I like the equitability at work here.
Wow. I did enjoy that. That was better than I expected.
Good.
I really like that. That was very good. That was very good.
I didn't bleed on your stick.
No, you didn't bleed at all. I mean, actually, the stick in the arm thing, I had to go, But the sword swallowing and the dick sucking, I you can do that again another time.
Sure.
Yeah.
Come back and let me.
Yeah,
I'll
come
do
back
all sorts
and do
of
it
other
again,
stuff
yeah.
next time,
okay,
too.
All right. Okay.
Can I just say that life is full of surprises?
You know?
Wow.
And this show is like a circus sometimes. Commedia erotica. That's what we call it here. Commedia erotica. And we're just about out of time. We are out of time.
Wow.
So we got to go around real fast and tell our audience where we can be found. So I'll let you start since you were last and since you know you might get a sore throat later.
I'm sorry?
Okay, where do we find you? Where do we see you?
Oh,
where do we pay you money?
Right.
Or suck your cock? Or what can we do for you?
You can go to Murugan.com to find me. I'm also on Facebook. You might be seeing me here very soon on a major network because we're shooting the pilots for a circus-based show.
Wow.
Yes.
Are you going to do this act on that?
I'm going to swallow a car axle.
Oh,
a Model A car axle on the show. Only one other person in the entire world does it. I expect to be number two.
Will someone be sucking your dick at the time?
I'm the only man
on my show.
I'm also the only man in the world to swallow a rocket-powered sword for Ripley's Believe It or Not.
Well, we're proud of you.
Thank you.
Definitely. We're proud to have you on here.
Yes, I got one right over in the case. I'll be glad to help you.
All right. So, Sex Nerd Sandra.
Yes, Sandra with an A. Sexnerdsandra.com. There are links to my podcast that's free on iTunes and on follow me on Twitter. Yeah.
Well, we can't wait to hear what you what you say about being on the show.
That will definitely have to come up in a future broadcast, definitely.
And Sherry.
All I have is Cherie DeVille Facebook. And
all
I
you
have Cherie DeVille Twitter.
You don't even have any clothes.
I know. I don't have my clothes. I have no website. Oh.
Okay. And Miss Danny.
You can expect to see DannyJensen.com online in the next 3 to 5 months. And also, until then, you can find me on Twitter, xDannyXJensenX.
Okay.
You can find me at clubjaden.com or Twitter/JadenCole. And then I'm starting a podcast tomorrow night. It premieres actually at the Death Squad Network, deathsquad.tv. So
Death Squad.
That's their comedy thing. It's kind of like Nerdist, where we're going to be the sexual
part, right?
Exactly.
It's like the corpsey thing.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
You can find. I don't know where my darling wife is or who she's fucking right now, but you can find her at lilycade.com.
Okay. And are we missing anyone else that was on?
Sex.
Well, I know. I'm saving them for last. Actually, I think Johnny Lynch should say goodbye. Get on a microphone. Tell us where we find you, Johnny, because you did such a bang-up job. Or
bang-mouth
job.
I want to be nearby the tits, so I'm just going to be over here. But hi, I'm Johnny Lynch, and you can find me. I just started my website at johnnylynchisfat.com. So JONNILYNCH is fat, because that's what I am. Yay!
With some amazingly perfect lips.
And
some
good cocksucker there.
Perfect lips. Mm-hmm. Dick-looking lips.
Yes, from all that smoking. All right, and now, Sex at Dawn. Where do we find you? At Sex at Dawn, that's all.
Sexatdawn.com.
Right. New York Times best-selling book. Let's get it on some other bestseller lists. Everybody should pass it around.
Yeah.
And it's out in paperback now. It wasn't out in paperback before, right?
It's come out in paperback in July, yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah, well, you haven't been here since
got some new
that.
Ones, yeah.
So, yay. And are
they
you
changed
working on
the
something
subtitle.
New?
Yeah, we're working on the next book, sort of. We've cashed the check, so I guess we have to write it.
That means the work must begin. Okay.
Yeah. No, the next book's not about sex per se. It's about the conflict points between the animal we've evolved to be and the society what society demands of us. It's tentatively called Civilized to Death.
Oh,
it's going to be fun to read.
Yes, yes, yeah. Very, very good. Well, Sex at Dawn, you know, sets the stage for that. Yes, the root of all evil is farming. Anyway,
property.
More later.
Property.
Property. Right. Yeah. Property. Okay. Well, my darling listeners and viewers, I want to thank you. I want to also thank my whole staff and my assistant and Tasia, my producer, actually. And, of course, Max. Let's hear it for Max, Prince Max. And Nori standing over him. Max is... we need a little more, I think.
Hey, Max!
Max is battling the big C right now, and he's as strong as an ox because I mean he's on chemo right now and he's still doing the show and the fire, look at this, we toasting marshmallows. Oh my God. Okay, well, so with this grand fiery finale, I want to thank you, my darling listeners or viewers, for having us in your home, your mansion on a hill, your cardboard box, or perhaps your tent. Although if you're from Occupy LA, your tent has been taken down by the LAPD. So Occupy LA and Occupy Philly were both evacuated, busted on the same night. And wow, the fire is burning, and the Occupy movement will not be extinguished.
Wow.
It's true. You can't extinguish it. It's a blazing, blazing force of humanity that is very much related to some of the themes we're talking about tonight. The group. Yeah, yeah. Okay. And we're eating marshmallows. Oh, he's now breathing fire. Murugan, breathing fire. What a grand finale. Whoa. Yay. Okay. All righty. Oh, he just said, okay, one more time. And then, whoo. Oh, whoa. Yay. Okay. Be good. If you play with fire, just take precautions, you know, use safe words, whatever you need. Make like bonobos, not baboons, okay? I mean, nothing against baboons, but, yeah. Okay, is he reading the book? You should have him reading. Okay, here we go. Yeah, make like bonobos, not baboons. Make love, not war, okay? Make love to someone you love tonight.
Yourself.
Even if that someone is you. I love you. Say you love them. Go to the camera. Turn the camera. Say, I love you.
We love you.
I love you. Come on.
I love you.
I love you.
I love you.
I love all of you.
Okay. Yay! Okay, party time. Short party. Short. Very short.
Need to talk with someone about something you can't talk about with anyone else? You can talk to us. I'm Dr. Susan Block, your mistress of the airwaves, but my day job is director of the Dr. Susan Block Institute for the Erotic Arts and Sciences, specializing in sex therapy over the phone. Anytime you need to talk, whether you need serious psychotherapy or a hot telephone sex experience, or a combination. My world-renowned telephone sex therapists are just a phone call away. Totally private, absolutely confidential. We listen, talk with you, advise you, role-play for you, fantasize with you, no fantasy is too taboo, and help you with anything from impotence to exhibitionism, fears to desires, fetishes to marriages. For more information, call us at 213-291-9497. That's 213-291-9497 anytime you need to talk.